We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We are presented by M-Prize Bank. My name is Jared Sutton. I'm joined, as always, by Jeff Hawkins. And it is March. It is time to dance. The madness is here. We got a lot to cover here as we talk about Kansas in the NCAA tournament. They are a 4 seed. A lot to look forward to in the Midwest region in terms of matchups. We'll break it all down tonight. All starts with the first matchup against Samford. But Jeff, I'll just open. First off, great time of the year here with the tournament, but also Kansas gets a 4 seed. And in a season that has seen Coach Self with the most losses in Big 12 Conference, in the Big 12 Conference in his tenure, they're still a 4 seed. And still in a side of the bracket that, although I don't think it's an easy road, I do think it's a road that is doable, considering matchups. And we'll get into some things that just took place just a few minutes ago in terms of what personnel Coach Self will have here in the NCAA tournament. But let's just start. I'm just kind of curious to get your thoughts on Kansas' draw as a 4 seed.
Yeah, I think obviously, you know, there's some things going on with McCullough. So, you know, right now with them having a 4 seed, I think that's really beneficial to them. You know, those 4 seeds have been a hunt. I mean, a kind of a nobody likes those 4 seeds. But I think with this team, you know, and kind of where they've been at and, you know, where they're trying to get, you know, I think Coach Self said it best. If this is the time to get hot, it's right now. This is when you want to be playing good. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they come out. Some young guys have had a chance to, you know, get the feeling of what it feels like to play without McCullough, to play with the down Hunter. So it's going to be interesting to see where these guys fall out, you know, coming against a good Samford, you know, who shoots the 3-ball really well and has guys definitely that can attack the basket and put pressure on the defensive end. And, you know, with the depth of KU, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what Coach Self does in these games. This is normally when he's at his best. It's going to be fun to see what adjustments he makes and what avenue he chooses to go with, especially with no McCullough.
Yeah. You look at the Samford matchup, you know, a team that's very efficient in terms of how they play a lot of guys, too. They had 10 guys that averaged over 10 minutes a game, had a lot of good, you know, 6 players shooting over 40% from three, too. Now, that's subject to the volume and attempts, but you look at, you know, their actual team box and to see that many guys shooting that clip from three is pretty impressive. They're 10th in steal rate. They're 7th in effective field goal percentage. They do like to play fast at different times. A lot of that is turnovers and steals and leading to fast break transition, you know, penetrating pitch. Good athletes, you know, maybe not to the size of, especially with Hunter Dickinson coming back, the athleticism of KJ. And look, Samford, they lost to Purdue by 53. They have 0 wins against anybody in the KenPom top 100. Yeah. So it's easy. I always kind of love when we get to these first opening matchups and it's like, let's try to find everything to fear about.
Yeah, for sure.
Upset, and they still got to play Kansas, right? Samford's still got to, you know, lace him up. And Samford's defense is actually not great if you take care of the ball, is kind of the biggest thing there. I look to Kansas now, and I kind of felt this even if Kevin was going to play, but we know now that Kevin McCullough's out and will not be playing in the NCAA tournament. It's a big loss. There's no other way to say that. It's unfortunate, but I still think the identity of Kansas in terms of winning games is going to be owning the paint, rebounding the basketball at a high level, scoring points in the paint, and just having an impact with their bigs and their size, Hunter, and the athleticism of KJ. And then from there, it becomes DeJuan, Johnny Furphy.
Yeah.
And then somebody's going to have to step up too. Is it Nick Timberlake? Is it Almarco Jackson? Yeah. Is that kind of your vibe as well going into these, not just Samford, but, you know, if it's McNeese or Gonzaga, or if they get out of this weekend and they look at Purdue down the road, you know, the matchups, I still think, like, if Kansas plays to the level they're capable of playing at and Hunter plays at a high level and is ready to go and they do get that lift from someone that steps up and Johnny Furphy looks like he looked like the Johnny Furphy in January, Kansas still a dangerous four seed and still Bill Self. So where's your kind of thought right now on the pulse of Kansas?
Yeah, and, you know, obviously we all know there's no McCullough. So it's obviously going to be next man up. And like I kind of mentioned, the good thing about it is the next man up, they've had a couple reps and a couple opportunities to try to prove themselves. And this is the biggest stage that you can play at. You know, this is, you know, every kid on that team, this is the moment they've dreamed of. They've watched March Madness growing up as a kid. So to be able to actually get out in there in that first round when that environment hits, I think those guys are going to be, you know, they've had those moments. They're going to have those opportunities. And I think you have to play through Hunter. I mean, you have to play through Hunter. I think KJ's done a good job through this stretch as well, too. KJ's going to have to step up. But you have to play through Hunter. You have to, you know, he has to get his touches down low. You got to get him going. You got to try to win that points in the paint battle, that just aggressiveness. I think that's going to play to their strengths. But, you know, somebody has to step up. And is it going to be Furphy? There's so many guys that even if the bench doesn't step up, who's going to step up from the guys that are playing those majority minutes? Is KJ going to give us a little bit more of a lift? Is DeJuan going to, you know, take his game to another level in this NCAA tournament? And what's Furphy going to do? So they still have some deadly weapons on that team. It's just going to be, again, you know, how's that chemistry going to look like? You know, that rest, I think, is definitely going to play to advantage for them. You know, having some guys to rest up, and they've been playing some big minutes down the stretch. So having some of these guys being able to just kind of relax and get their bodies closer to 100%, I think that's going to play to their favor. So, I mean, I like their matchup. I still like, even with no McCullough, this is KU basketball. This is high-level basketball. Next guy has to be ready to step up. Even those guys that have performed have to be ready to step up and take it to another level with no McCullough. So it's KU basketball is what you signed up for. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle themselves in that situation.
No doubt. I feel for Johnny Furphy a little bit here because, you know, this is a guy that was playing barely any minutes in non-conference play. Then he, you know, gets thrust in the starting lineup, is great right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Then in Kansas City, there's no Hunter, no Kevin, and he's kind of got the pressure on him for a young freshman.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's a freshman. He's very advanced in terms of his IQ, his athleticism. Like, there's a lot of things for a freshman that are just so intriguing, but he's not allowed to be a freshman now. Yeah. And, yeah, I feel for him going into the tournament knowing that now it definitely puts more of an added pressure on him, because what was great about the thought of Kevin coming back is the versatility.
Yeah.
Switchable to take pressure offensively off of other guys, to allow them to play in the roles they're comfortable playing in. And I think that's a frustrating. Yeah, you lose Kevin, that's tough, but the pressure it adds to other guys can be overlooked, and that includes DeJuan and Hunter and KJ too. But they're capable. They're older players. They've kind of been you know, they've been here. They know what this is.
Yeah.
For guys like Johnny Perfey, Marco Jackson, I would even throw Nick Timberlake in there. It's a little different, you know, just what's about to take place as they go into this tournament. From a coaching standpoint, like, is there a way to get, you know, these guys have experience, and it's not like they had not have, each of them have had good moments. Definitely Johnny and Nick. Where do you draw the line of just how do you get guys ready for a different role, especially when you're in a, you know, survive and advance type of tournament?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the repetition, you know, you really got to hope that, you know, everything that you've done before leading up to that moment, you know, is that those players trust you. They're willing to take your leadership, you know, because sometimes when you have to switch up a role, especially at, you know, the snap of a dime or the drop of a dime, you know, that can be challenging. But if you trust your leader, if you believe in your leader, they instill that confidence. I think that's the biggest thing. You want to make sure as a coach you're instilling that confidence in them, because now you might be asking some, you know, just to take a quick detour. Some might have to do a full 180 with their role. And as coaches, and as just as a player, that could be challenging. Even as a coach, that can be challenging. So making sure that they have that confidence in that new role, making sure that new role is defined to where they know what to do with that role. But just making sure, you know, they know that, hey, this is a new role. You're gonna have your mistakes. What you do after those mistakes, you know, kind of determines on, you know, how people are going to view you. Are you going to put your head down and pout, point the finger, or are you going to keep your head up and keep moving forward? So, and as Coach Self always like to say, water off your back. So I just think you got to make sure you instill the confidence in those guys, especially when you're switching a role up. But they have to have that confidence in order to carry out that role.
I think from just like style, game plan, sets, like I would assume I always think Coach Self is so good at just like,
yeah,
little tweaks here and there,
yeah,
you know, when it's needed. I also know a coach likes to keep things simple for a young player and to just be able to kind of play to their strengths and not, you know, allow them to do too much.
Yeah.
In this case, I think it's tough because, yeah, you need Johnny to be aggressive, and I know Johnny's kind of like that player that he doesn't force, like he doesn't take bad shots. We talked about this,
yeah,
you know, like, and I think for guys like Furphy, I think Hunter shooting threes, DeJuan, if he's wide open,
yeah,
like, you got to shoot the ball now. Like you got to be a little, I appreciated that KJ was, I know it was a loss to Cincinnati, but KJ looked really good. And that, you know, I think he's going to be reliable in the, what you get, you know, from KJ night in and night out, you're going to get in the NCAA tournament, right? And I think that's a good thing, is you know what you're getting there. It's just these other guys that are going to have to really kind of step up and emerge and play consistently. And then we know what Hunter can do. And obviously it sounds like he's pretty healthy for the most part, and going to, you know, going to play. And we know how dominant he can be. I would love to see Hunter against Zach Edey. Yeah. You know, run it back. Yeah. So Hunter was at Michigan playing against Zach at Purdue. That'd be a really fun matchup. But you know, from a coaching standpoint, and I know Coach Self better than anybody, of just, is he a guy that will kind of look to maneuver and change up some things? I'm just curious what he does tactically, yeah, from a coaching standpoint, and if we see any sort of adjustments or changes now that Kevin's out.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was funny, you know, when Hunter dislocated his shoulder, brought me back to my playing days in Camp Arena, when Wayne Simeon was going up for a block shot and dislocated his shoulder. Yeah. And from there, you know, we were big on the high-low. Big, heavy, high-low, 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 high-low. Well, we had nobody to throw it into like Wayne. You know, Wayne, we could throw it into Wayne, and we know he's going to go get you 20 and 10 at least on a bad night. We had nobody that we knew that could just go get you that 20 points from throwing it into the post, causing that havoc. So from there, that's when, you know, he made his adjustment and started going to the ball screening offense, motion offense, which a lot of people started running and doing a lot of that ball screening option. And that kind of opened up a lot. And we loved it as players. It opened up a lot. And I think before, you know, Coach Stuff kind of had this kind of slow style of play. And I think he really evolved when Wayne literally got hurt because we had to play a lot faster with what we had. And that's kind of what they did. He made that adjustment. So I'm pretty sure those guys, they've had a lot of time to kind of go to the drawing board. Who knows how long they've known with this McCullough situation. But, you know, I think they're gonna be up on the drawing board trying to definitely make some adjustment to give their guys the best opportunity.
We'll take a quick break, but before we do, we wanted to tell you about Home Field Apparel. Home Field is committed to creating incredibly comfortable, officially licensed apparel with vintage college designs. Home Field has a growing collection of over 150-plus colleges to choose from, including your favorite team's unique logos, mascots, and iconic moments to create thoughtfully designed apparel. Shop your latest team's apparel. Head to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code KCSN23 for 15% off your first order.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Border War Podcast here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We're presented by Emprise Bank. I'm Jarrett Sutton, joined by Jeff Hawkins. And Jeff, I wanted to kind of hit on just things going into the tournament now that we know that Kevin is out, that I think Kansas needs to avoid to help themselves. Where I think, you know, I believe that Kansas defensively is going to come out ready to go, game plan, discipline that we always know Kansas to be. That I really feel confident about. Even with Kevin out, I still think that's doable. The things that I think cannot happen are foul trouble would be number one. Like numb fouls, you know, reaching fouls, taking, because you just, your depth is now even more limited. That to me is a big issue. The three-point shooting is always going to, it's always going to come back to, you know, if you can have a couple guys like a DeJuan or a Furfear, Nick Timberlake, just hit a three here and there, or maybe a few threes, huge lift for Kansas. But you cannot not take threes. You know, you can't go away from open looks, and then take care of the ball and not turn it over. Yep. The turnover piece, it's like in any sport. Like, you turn the ball over in the postseason, it's going to probably come back to bite you. Yep. And in this tournament, especially when you're undermanned, you got to take care of the ball and get a shot, and not have empty possessions, especially against these teams that are going to live off your turnovers and live off of, you know, if you're in foul trouble, that's going to, you know, your margin for error is just so slim. And I think those areas Kansas needs to really kind of hone in on. Is there anything you're seeing on your end just going into this tournament of just areas maybe you want to see from them, or things they need to avoid, or anything like that?
Yeah, I think number one for sure, and I'm definitely piggybacking off of you, one thing they definitely want to avoid is foul trouble.
Yeah.
And with the McCullough, you still want to avoid foul trouble just because of the depth, and, you know, not as much production in the bench, not really being as consistent and reliable. To me, that's number one. You definitely don't want to give them an edge to where your stars or your guys playing a majority of the minutes are sitting out, not getting those reps, and you're having to put someone else in who doesn't have maybe as much confidence or the amount of reps that some of those other guys have. And again, you mentioned it, those turnovers and the rebound war. To me, you know, that's really big. If you can keep those turnovers down, or if you're going to have high turnovers, make sure you're turning them over just as much. Or if you're going to turn the ball over, just make sure they're not getting any points out of those turnovers. But you just want to stay away from turnovers. This team has, you know, shown sometimes that they can turn the ball over, be a little bit careless. But I think that's something that they definitely want to avoid taking. They want to make sure that they can take care of the ball. And you want to make sure you're controlling the rebounds, the boards as well, too. Can't give up any second-chance opportunities, especially playing against the Samford team. This is a team you don't want to give up any second or third chance opportunities, especially with a team that can shoot the three ball as well, too, because that can be definitely deflating. And I think, you know, one of the things that they definitely need to do is just aggressive on the offensive end. That I think that's going to help them, especially with guys that probably aren't played as many minutes, consistent minutes throughout the season. What can typically, I think, sometimes happen with those guys is, especially when they're playing with those guys that have played the majority of the minutes, they can get a little bit lax. They can pass up on some shots, pass up on some opportunities, just swing the ball to the guys that have been doing it a lot more. So they're not in a situation to where, you know, these guys can be swinging it and waiting for, you know, Hunter and KJ and DeJuan to be making some of these plays. I think everybody's going to have to stay aggressive. Even DeJuan, I know I just mentioned DeJuan, but even DeJuan, everybody's going to have to stay a little bit more aggressive, because the more aggressive they are, I think that's going to allow them to find their mojo. And they've been trying to find their mojo. It's going to allow them to find their mojo and get things going off in the right direction.
Yeah, no question. Let's take a look at the bracket, the Midwest side. I think it's a good draw that Kansas is in the Midwest. That East is no joke. In terms of, you know, I feel, you know, I know there's a lot that's been made of Iowa State being the two seed after winning the Big 12 championship, how they fared against Houston, and then they get this draw where they're in the UConn bracket with Illinois and Auburn and San Diego State, who's in the title game. I mean, it's just like it's a monster. BYU over there is a sneaky sleeper. So the fact that they're not, you know, they're not in a bracket that is just insurmountable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, too, like, it's easy to look ahead in this, just like, oh, who could we play in the Sweet 16 and who could we play in the Elite Eight? And you and I both know the most important game is Samford by far. Like, it's them playing well right out of gate. Don't look too far ahead. But then, I mean, you know, should they take care of business, play their brand of ball, and you do look ahead, it's Gonzaga or McNeese. And a lot of people probably pulling the 12th over 5 upset in their brackets. And look, McNeese is interesting. They're a good team. They've won 30 games. Very high-octane offense. I just saw Gonzaga last week. Not the Gonzaga we're used to seeing. Had a good run towards the end of the season to get to where they are in a 25-win team and a 5 seed. But I look at that matchup too, and I honestly think Kansas should want to play Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a better matchup.
Mm-hmm.
McNeese is super athletic, and like, they just got a bunch of guys that can break people down off the dribble. They can play above the rim. They can shoot. They got a lot of different guys, and either way, you know, Kansas can beat either Gonzaga or McNeese State, but I think Gonzaga is actually the better matchup. And I think like Ryan Nebhard against DeJuan Harris and Anton Watson against KJ, like some interesting matchups. Is there anybody else? Like Tennessee is the two, Texas is on this side, Creighton, and then obviously you got Purdue. You know, anybody that jumps out in terms of like teams that's your hope, like not a good matchup for Kansas, or teams that, you know, you just wouldn't want to face? You know, I know a lot's made of Creighton too, analytically, and Tennessee. And that matchup at the bottom of the bracket, if they get to Charlotte, a Tennessee-Creighton matchup would be really fun. Yes. I'm excited to see if Rick Barnes plays Texas.
Yes.
That matchup would be cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, what are you seeing from the Midwest?
I mean, you know, the top half of the Midwest bracket, I think, where KU is at, like, if I was playing, I'd be like, I like where we're at. I mean, really? I'd be like, okay. And obviously, you know, you take care of business, and then, you know, that bottom, I think that bottom half of the Midwest is, it can get a little bit tricky with. I like Creighton. I've watched them, you know, quite a bit this season. They're very solid, can slip up. I mean, can come up on you at any point in time and do damage. They've had some really great wins. And to me, Tennessee as well, too, like with Dalton, I just think, you know, Tennessee's that bottom half of the bracket is like, okay, you got some work, but you know how it goes. You know, you got to get through the top half of the bracket to get to the bottom half of the bracket. But I think right now where KU's at, you know, obviously they got to focus on each game that's ahead of them. But I like, you know, where they're at as far as the Midwest. I don't think it means that the Midwest bracket is weak by all means, but I think where KU stands at the top half of their bracket, and you know, the road that they would have to get to in order to, you know, get to that bottom half of the bracket to play those guys. I think Jayhawk Nation is pretty happy with where they're at, because it's some killer. I mean, you look around, I mean, the West, the East, I mean, it's a couple sides where you're like, ooh, man, all right. But again, it's determined. Don't make it seem like, you know, this top level of the Midwest bracket is just trash. That's definitely not the case.
Yeah. It's interesting. Virginia, Colorado State, too, in the play-in. They're trying to play Texas. You know, it's funny. Like, if you go back to past tournaments, a play-in team that wins usually can pull the upset in the next round. So you never know what could happen, but I do think, like, if you look at Purdue with Zach Edey, Tennessee, Dalton Connect, Creighton, you know, they got a big and Ryan Kalkbrenner, Baylor Shireman, one of the best shooters in the country, Trey Alexander, like, they got a lot of pieces. And then, you know, Kansas is right there with Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about this, but it'd be pretty important, I guess, for Kansas moving forward. If Johnny Furphy catches fire again and is playing, I keep going back to him, because if he takes on this, you know, being a guy and kind of fulfilling, like, the, like, to your point, the aggressiveness of Johnny Furphy, like, to me, that makes Kansas that much more dangerous. And look, it only takes one game too. Like, if you win a game, and let's say Johnny plays really well against Samford, it only takes one game to get you going.
Yeah.
You know, especially in this tournament, like, your confidence goes through the roof. We've seen guys all the time in this tournament that catch fire one time and it's on.
Yeah, you can go hero to hero like that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you just can't. I push back on people that are already like, oh, Kansas, no Hunter, and they're going to be done. They're not. I just don't feel that with this bracket. And I don't feel that. I know they didn't play well at Kansas City without Hunter, but, you know, Hunter's back. He's a huge, huge important part of this team. Yeah. And I think this will be interesting. And I do think the draw is solid enough where, considering everything Kansas has had going on, they're in a pretty decent spot, all things considered.
Oh, yeah. I'm just, again, it's the tournament, and like you mentioned it, like any team at any point in time can get hot. And I, like Coach Self mentioned as well too, if you're going to get hot, this is the time to do it. And when you got some guys that, you know, haven't probably had as much reps, especially with like El Marco, Furphy, for those guys to get, just have a little bit of success, it's almost like it's times two or three when you're in the NCAA tournament. So any bit of success that you can have, because, you know, everybody's watching, like, people are skipping out, calling in sick just to try to say so they can watch the tournament. Or they're just blatantly at work, not working, watching the game. So more people that may not even have known about you are going to know about you. They're going to learn more about your program because everybody's watching. So anybody can get hot. It's going to be fun to see the adjustments. This is where Coach Self, you know, makes his big dollars, you know, when he's making those adjustments and coaching on the fly. It's going to be fun to see what they materialize. But, you know, Purdue, they kicked it inside to Eddie when they played Samford. And I think, you know, KU, they need to do exact same thing as well, too. They need to, you know, play through their big man, push it inside and see if they can get some momentum with this game ahead of them and see if they can keep moving forward.
Absolutely. Kansas will tip against Samford. In their first round matchup, it's Thursday. It's at 8:55 tip for Kansas and Samford. Jeff will be breaking it all down. Hopefully, we're talking about Kansas.
Hopefully, we're still in
the team, and we're talking about some serious matchups down the road. So, as always, appreciate your time, man. Always appreciate your insight, and we'll be talking to you soon.
You betcha. See ya.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.